And he'll be going over some salmonella and dairy manure. So I'll turn it over to John.
Good morning. Thanks very much for having me. I'll give you some background while you study the business end of our dairy cows. We are at the University of Pennsylvania, and we have a research dairy as part of the vet school. There are an estimated 75 million cases of foodborne illness in the U.S. on an annual basis and 5,000 deaths. There have been a number of high-profile cases of salmonella-borne food poisoning or salmonellosis in the media in the last few years, including contamination of alfalfa sprouts, peanut butter, hot peppers, cantaloupes, and even pet food. Now, while it's difficult in bacterial source tracing to positively identify the point of entry into the food chain, in a lot of cases, animal manures applied to cropland have been implicated. Salmonella has definitely established a reservoir in the dairy industry. Some Midwestern and New York State surveys have suggested that up to a quarter of the dairy herds in those areas have at least one salmonella positive cow. And certainly there are gaps in our knowledge of the behavior of foodborne pathogens in the food animal production industry. We have a several-year project collaboratively between University of Pennsylvania and Penn State University where we want to try to expand our knowledge base of pathogen behavior in food animal production. Last year, our studies looked at Salmonella and E. coli 0157 survival in the dairy farm environment using environmental sentinel chambers in soil on the dairy farm, in the effluent lagoon, and in separated solids, manure separated solids, compost piles. Next year, our research is going to focus on laboratory leaching columns to observe salmonella and pathogenic E. coli movement through and retention in the soil profile. Now, the middle part of the study that we'll be talking about today, we wanted to look at possible control methods for salmonella on the dairy farm, and we decided on pH or temperature modification. In the first laboratory trial, dairy manure was inoculated with salmonella and the pH adjusted to acidic or basic conditions. In the second trial, inoculated dairy manure was incubated at 422 or 37 degrees. Deactivation of salmonella was followed as a function of pH or temperature modification. Our materials and methods in the pH adjustment trials, the sample material were 500 grams of as-excreted salmonella-free dairy manure from our research dairy. It was in sterile Nalgene beakers that were covered with parafilm to retard moisture loss over time. The manure was inoculated with pure cultures of Salmonella cerevar Newport of dairy farm origin acquired from University of Pennsylvania Salmonella Reference Laboratory. Target concentration was 7 log 10 per gram wet manure, which is a concentration that would be excreted or shed in feces by a heavily infected animal. The pH adjustment chemicals are ones that would be used in the dairy farm. Low pH adjustment was achieved with aluminum sulfate alum, which is used to reduce ammonia volatilization in the dairy to adjust dry cow diets and as well to tie up phosphorus. Target pHs with alum addition were 4, 5, or 6, plus we had a circumneutral treatment that did not receive any alum addition. Treatments were incubated at room temperature ambient 22 degrees Celsius. The high pH treatment was with hydrated lime, which is used in the dairy to spread on cow bedding materials to control mastitis-causing bacteria. Target rates were pH 8, 9, or 10. Treatments were replicated 3 times, plus we included a control which was pH adjusted but which received no salmonella that we used to monitor pH over time. Salmonella samples were diluted serially at individual time samplings and plated on XLD agar, which is semi-selective for salmonella. In the temperature adjustment trials, dairy manure similarly was adjusted with inoculated with salmonella and incubated at 422 or 37 degrees Celsius. These following slides will all be fairly similar. We repeated the pH trials twice, once last year, a summer and fall trial, and again this spring and summer. On the x-axis are days of sampling. On the y-axis is the log 10 concentration of salmonella per gram of wet manure. You can see there are 3 basic trends here. The base trend of the unamended manure is, and these are the dark diamonds here, is a small increase, a plateau, and then a long semi-linear decline, which is a matter of normal cell death and also competition with native manure microorganisms. At the lowest pH in this trial, pH 4, there was a very rapid deactivation of salmonella, a complete killing of salmonella within just a couple of days. And at intermediate pHs, there was a general trend for a decline, followed by an increase, followed by a decline more or less paralleling the normal deactivation of salmonella. And in the second low pH adjustment trial, again, we can see the very rapid deactivation at low pH, in this case 3.6, and again, a transient suppression followed by regrowth. And the transient suppression was on the order of 2 or 3 log units. So in effect, as much as 999 out of 1,000 salmonella were killed by the treatment, but it was followed by regrowth. Now here we will look at the pH time trend instead of the salmonella concentration. You can see that at the intermediate pHs over the course of 10 days or so, it approached the unamended samples here. So it was a fairly short duration pH adjustment, except at the lowest pH here, and we may assume that it was some kind of bacterial metabolism effect, since you will recall that at the lowest pH, all or almost all of the bacteria were killed off, so there was nothing left to do bacterial physiology. If we look at the high pH adjustment trials, again, a similar trend for the unamended pH, a decline here. pH 8 or pH around 9, there was very little effect of the hydrated lime, whereas at the highest pH, pH 10, there was a suppression but not killing. And in the second high pH adjustment trial, similar to the low pH trial, there was a transient suppression over a few days, followed by decline. And there was an even more rapid normalization of pH at the high pH trial, complete within 2 to 4 days. If we go to the temperature adjustment trial, again, the 22-degree treatment would be very closely comparable to the circumneutral pH trials that we looked at earlier. There is a semi-log linear decline over time. At 37 degrees, which is human body temperature and a few degrees below dairy cow core body temperature, there was a decline that was complete within a little over 2 weeks, whereas at 4 degrees C, refrigerator temperature, or perhaps over winter outdoor temperature, there was a very much slower deactivation. And indeed, this trial was begun in April of 2009, And at the last sampling before the meetings, Salmonella was still present at very low levels in the 4 degree C treatment, and that is after about 220 days. Here we have log linear deactivation and survival parameters for selected treatments from these trials. Log reduction time is the inverse of the log linear deactivation rate, in effect the slope of the deactivation curve, and this will say how long does it take in days to achieve a tenfold reduction in Salmonella populations. And the maximum survival time was determined by most probable number culturing technique, which is a serial dilution to extinction, followed by amplification, followed by plating. So this will say, is Salmonella present or absent? And we can see that in pH of less than 4 and at a temperature of 37 degrees C, you had quite rapid deactivation of Salmonella. And given the fact that the inoculation rate was 7 log 10, if you multiply log reduction time by 7, you will get an approximate maximum survival time. So this was a matter of a week or two at pH less than or equal to 4 or 37 degrees. At 4 degrees C, you can see a much, much extended survival time for Salmonella. And I did kind of scratch paper calculations in a practical sense, is how much of the adjusting chemicals are going to be needed on the dairy farm to achieve elimination of Salmonella. Now we are, I have not accounted for things such as in the alum treatment, is there going to be an aluminum loading question over a period of time? Also, that this would be a worst case scenario, given that even in infected herds, there will only be a few animals likely to be infected. But with the alum, if you scale up to a per kilogram wet manure basis, 50 grams alum per kilogram of manure. If you go to the ASABE manure characteristics publication, 68 kilograms manure from a lactating cow. And if we assume that we have a 100 cow dairy herd, which is large for Pennsylvania but pretty small for most other places, to eliminate Salmonella in a few days from a 100 cow herd, 340 kilograms alum per day. Similarly for the hydrated lime, it would be a matter of something like 70 kilograms of the chemical would be needed per day for a 100 cow herd. And if we go to the conclusions, given the chemicals that we used, pH adjustment effect was quite short-lived. The manure treated approached circumneutral, not amended within 4 to 10 days. A pH of less than or equal to 4 was required to eliminate Salmonella. At intermediate pHs and pH above 10, Salmonella was suppressed by 2 to 3 log units. And finally, low temperatures greatly extended pathogen survival time. Okay, I'll take any questions.
Any questions?
Yep. Do you think you would need to add it on a daily basis? Because it, you know, you have a pH lasting 4 to 10 days.
It'd
be more practical if you can even half it.
Sure. You know? Yeah, and there are a number of practical. We did not. This would be a setup for doing practical trials in a dairy environment, so it is possible that you could wait a few days to do your pH adjusting.
Any other questions? Yes, there's one there.
I saw that the hydrogen bridges are going to lower the concentration of Salmonella. How do you think that it can be that people in the field situation, the increase of the temperature?
How would you increase the temperature in a field situation?
It would have to be in some kind of a composting situation. If you remember Dr. McKitch's presentation, it was a temperature of about 55 degrees over 3 weeks or so that deactivated pathogens. And we found in our field trials in compost last year that a compost pile of separated solids increased in temperature to 65 degrees within about 12 hours, and that was enough to completely kill off Salmonella. You would have to work out some kind of practical composting arrangement, and again, that would be something for on-farm trials to decide what would be the best ways to accomplish that.
Okay, well, we're going into the break, 15-minute break, and when we come back, we'll listen to the last four speakers, and thank you, Dr. Toth.